Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Because this is a policy that any of your top socialists would implement. With self-censorship, people will have second thoughts about standing up for other rights.
I'm not going to be censored. If there's something that any council member does that's so outrageous, then the governor has the power to remove us. And I will not support this in any way, manner, to go back to committee or to move forward. It should die right here. And that's my opinion. Thank you.
And I just think that I would like to encourage my fellow council members to vote no. That's our First Amendment right, and don't give it up.
Ms. Meeks, before I recognize you, Jeff, I need to respond to that. I did not tell you to stay off my page. I asked the city attorney to speak with you about whether you were going to comment on my page in a way that would expose us to sunshine violation. I was trying to take care of us so that we were complying with the law, ma'am. I did not tell you could not be on my page. So I'm sorry you misunderstood that.
Lots of drama at the last city council meeting in Milton. Various voices you were hearing there. Everybody from Mayor Heather Lindsay. Prior to that, Roxanne Meese, Jeff Snow. I think you might have heard Marilyn Farrow in there. Shannon Rice, former city council person. Yeah, you know, this was all over the social media policy. By the way, I played the clip slightly out of order there. Roxanne Meese, who was talking about, she was the one who voted against the social media policy in the prior set of meetings. There's always three meetings in before, you know, there's one, two, and then you get to the actual city council meeting. So it goes through a process of approving twice before getting approved and actually voted into policy or into law, depending. And so Roxanne Meese was the one who voted no on this. And she was kind of explaining her vote, saying, I was surprised to be the only one standing up for the First Amendment and telling people that, you know, we ought not to have other people voting us out of office.
I agree. If I do something illegal or cause undue damage to another, I realize my dismissal could be a circumstance, as in any instance during my lifetime. But just having a different opinion from those who are under the impression that they are controlling me is wrong.
And look, you know, even though people say things against her or against council or even Mayor Lindsay, she says that's their right, which it is. It is absolutely their right.
The mayor has occasionally gone against the council and voiced her opinions on decisions, being accused of, as some people said, throwing us under the bus, such as greeting us and speaking out against us on public, the mask issues, different things, TV, CNN, Channel 3, PNJ. This is her opinion, and she is entitled to it, other than the times that she's speaking for us. And then she should represent what the council voted.
And so she was talking about how, you know, one time in the past, she commented on something on Mayor Lindsay's social media page, and she told her to stay off. That was the response about the, you know, it was just about sunshine was the issue. But so the background to all of this and the reason that so many of the members of the public and city council members were talking about this the other day was a proposed change in the existing social media policy that applies to employees. And the social media policy as it currently applies to employees is normal. It's as restrictive as the social media policies that you have in pretty much every other government entity and every other corporation. You know, any organization is going to have a policy like that these days. And it's going to say things like, you know, don't insult people, don't use ethnic slurs, don't post profanity and, you know, sexually explicit images and things like that. And, you know, don't bring disrepute upon the organization. Don't reveal proprietary information. Don't be doing, you know, your own private business on you know, basically city time or on, you know, organizational time. What made this policy come, you know, the change that Mayor Lindsay was proposing was to add in certain portions elected officials and appointed officials as some kind of target of the policy. One portion that it said is that you can't post files, images, or text depicting city property, equipment, or personnel in a way that adversely affects the reputation of the city or city department. And that's a weird one because I get what she's saying. Like, if you've got a police car broken down by the side of the road, and because you're a city employee, you have access to that photo, and then you say, well, I'm going to make the city look bad. I'm going to go on social media and publish it. I mean, that's being a bad employee. On the other hand, that's what whistleblowers do. And on the other hand, that's also what elected officials might do to say, hey, we've got a problem in this department and let's look at it. So restricting speech in that regard is not great because you're prohibiting, you know, people who are in the public office from disclosing things that might make, for example, the city look bad or, you know, other entities, in environments, the county look bad. But there was also a portion in here that said elect the, again, the change, okay, elected and appointed officials to uphold this, the values of the city of Milton as expressed in this policy shall endeavor to meet these standards. And, of course, there's no teeth to this. There's no enforcement to this. There's nothing the city can do if a city council member isn't nice on social media. Now, if they're talking back and forth with another city council member about a voting issue, that's a sunshine violation. They can be punished for that. But that's totally separate from this business of trying to be nice. And then what can you do about it? And the answer is nothing. There's nothing. There's no teeth. So I'm with the citizens, both in part for what they complained about with the images. They didn't really bring that up. They had more broader concerns. But also in the notion that, look, elected officials are accountable to the people, not to each other. And you shouldn't be trying to stifle their speech. And any kind of official, like, guidance starts to feel like censorship. And even though there's no teeth to it, even though there's no, you know, actual effect of it, I agree. This is a mistake. I thought it was weird when she brought up the first time. They voted it 7-1. I was kind of curious to see where this would go. But again, all of your other local governments do not have policies like this about elected officials. Okay, they might have them, and they all have them about employees, and that's the key dividing line on this matter. We'll come back to the clips here in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays, not yet. Highway 98 looking good from Navarre through Gulf Breeze into Pensacola and Alabama, for that matter, not showing any problems. Traffic tips, though, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
And by the way, you heard David mention at top of the hour, but if you're traveling on an airplane this morning, you're not traveling on an airplane this morning, or at least you weren't. A lot of the flights are delayed inbound and outbound because they had some kind of an electrical system on the runway. There was like a fire in a conduit or something like that. They were working on it all last night. I talked briefly to Matt Coughlin yesterday, the airport director, who was out of town on his like 25th anniversary. It was horrible. This is the kind of thing that happens when I leave town. No, it's not right. Anyway, so I told him, have a good anniversary. I'm sure the folks here locally will handle it. But the point is, they didn't have the lights to be able to take off and land in the dark is why you got that kind of cryptic, nothing operational after dusk, you know? That's why. So when will it be fixed? Then. That's when it's going to be fixed. So we'll let you know as soon as we know any better. Back to the conversation about the proposed social media policy. Several of the city council members mentioned that even though they had voted for it before, they were persuaded by talking to people to not vote for it again.
I guess I didn't expect to be a controversial issue. However, I should have known it would, because as soon as I left the building, I had some people speak to me. So that was after last meeting.
That was Casey Powell, and he said it was refreshing to have people want to protect my speech on their behalf. Marilyn Farrow.
I did vote for this policy last week, but I do, upon further reflection and with all due respect, Mayor Lindsay, want to reevaluate this.
Yeah, so she changed her mind. She says, I don't want to be censured. Censure is when you give somebody a penalty, basically, and you tell them what they did was wrong. Censor is when you prohibit them from speaking. And people kind of, you know, mix and match those sometimes. But her basic point was, look, I can self-monitor. I'm an elected official. That's what I should be able to do.
I don't think I would want my fellow council members or the mayor to censure me, knowing that the public has elected me to this office. I think one of the reasons I was elected was because the voters respected my opinions. And I feel that I can self-monitor my behavior without self-censoring my behavior. So, I am reconsidering my opinion on this.
By the way, when I first heard it, I thought she mismanaged her words. I think she got them both just right there. So I apologize to Councilwoman Farrow for saying that she got, I think she actually meant both of the ones properly pronounced the way she meant it. Mike Cusack, same thing is, you know, people, we shouldn't be telling them what to say.
Council people have said some things that I didn't agree with. They were kind of derogatory to me, but, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, I just rise above it anyway. So, but I voted to move it forward, and I'm also recanting that as well. So I'm not for this. I think we should just end it now.
And Mayor Lindsay, when she saw the race was going, or when the issue was going completely against her, that it was likely to be an 8-0 vote.
This item, I recognize it's going to fail. I'd like to at least make sure, let people know I was not proposing this to take away anyone's First Amendment right. I don't see this policy as doing that, but I recognize the concerns that have been raised and how wordsmithing the ideas could have been handled differently.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not just a matter of massaging the lettering. Wordsmithing is it's the policy itself. Any policy you put in place which is going to try to control what elected officials say is going to be wrong. That's a bright line to me, and I'm with the citizens on that. So in the end, it did get voted down 8-0. In fact, Howard Steele, who had run for county commission and did not win, I think against Kerry Smith is the race that was in, so that would have been District 2. Anyway, he got up and said something that this is fairly poignant.
I find it very ironic that in the same meeting that we have Military Appreciation Proclamation, that we're also discussing whether or not to limit the speech, and I just find it reprehensible, you know, and I find it very disgusting that we're even having this conversation.
Yeah, don't disagree with him. So the so I think the citizens, some of them were kind of over the top in their talk about communism and socialism and tyrants and dictators, but the underlying thing they were objecting to of restricting the speech of elected officials, even if it wasn't much of a restriction, misguided, which, by the way, has been a pet theme for Mayor Lindsay for many years, is trying to get civility, which I want that. So I'm with her on the wanting civility part, just not with her on the trying to tell other people what they can and can't say if they're elected officials. 622 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I'd like people to understand about our company is what's unique about us. We manufacture, we install, we guarantee. We go out of our way to make it easy. The most important thing that New South offers is very simple, absolutely true factory direct pricing. From our factory to our truck to your driveway. Most other window companies are either resellers, a wholesaler, a contractor, a distributor, a sales organization. We eliminate those levels of marketing, so you're paying true factory direct pricing.
Going on now, save 35% off factory direct windows and doors. Call 1-800-NEW-WINDOWS.
What does it mean to have peace of mind? It doesn't just happen. It's by design. PGT Custom windows and doors are designed to stand up against some of the strongest weather conditions, guard against intruders, and reduce outside noise, adding value to your home. All you have to do is close it, lock it, and forget about it, giving you peace of mind. That's the freedom of PGT.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are words you hear a lot about in today's world. But what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you can start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel Thursday morning at 9:30 to join me, Tasca King, and I'll show you how to navigate through the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. That's Thursday morning at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola, a great blend of information from local government authorities, local news, businesses, and provocative discussions with great hosts.
Silence, you ninny.
Good morning, 624, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We've been talking about this all morning, but it's just a good note that if you were planning to fly, we still have things that are delayed and canceled. Be sure to check your flight status because everything is a hot mess due to a problem that they had with the, an electrical lights-related conduit fire out on the runway yesterday that made it so they couldn't operate at night. And, I know what a lot of people are thinking is, well, I think I know what happened.
Just kidding.
Scene from Airplane when the guy pulls the plug out of the, that's not what happened. And I'm sure all of the ATCs and all of the people there are like, yeah, that was funny the first hour. It's not as funny anymore.
Oh, no, it's funny. What do you make of this? I can make a pterodactyl. I can make a brooch. I love Airplane.
The red line, the red zone is for
loading and unloading only.
Tell them about traffic, Candy.
Roads are fine as we take a look outside. Okay. Near the airport, speaking of which, doing just fine, not showing any problems on 12th or 9th.
Yeah, nobody's going there.
There are still plenty of stuff to do around the airport. The beautiful Cordova section, for one. And maybe if you're visiting, you know there's plenty of restaurants right over there. And I'm sorry that you're stuck here, but hopefully you'll enjoy the time that you have. East Bay Boulevard in Navarre is closed just south of Koppel Drive as part of the ongoing drainage improvement project. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And another hot day today.
Nice, 90 degrees, yeah. You know why it's so hot? Because of that Martha Stewart SI cover.
I looked that up. She looks great.
David is going to pass out. I love
it. Did you
see
it?
Have you seen it?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
Don't say it like that.
No, listen.
Can I go in and slap David or will HRB men?
Listen, for 81.
No, for 81, she looks
fantastic.
Does look good.
But and some of the other photos that are going to be on the inside.
She looks fantastic. She looks fantastic.
And for some of the other photos on the inside are much better than the cover shot. The cover shot is actually pretty terrible compared to some of the other photos that I saw. So, yeah, this is part of SI's, like, everybody's beautiful, everyone's beautiful at every age kind of thing is kind of their concept. They had a 74-year-old on the cover last year. So, I don't know. And Megan Fox is also, I guess, one. There's a couple of others that are involved.
I didn't think that was, well, whatever.
Yeah, no.
Martha Stewart doesn't even play a sport.
Well,
I like her.
You know that's not
a
prerequisite.
I know she did her time. Well, that's...
That's not David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines, Dave. I don't think
I'm just saying
I don't think there's an awful lot of, let's just say, younger men purchasing this particular edition.
No, not anymore.
For
but
the
I
reasons
thought that was the purpose that everybody
that historically
used to buy.
Younger
I get
men
it.
Have liked this edition.
I know
of,
she did her
for,
time toes up. I get that, but
it's just a very untraditional.
That's exactly right.
There's a new report out that says the FBI never should have launched the Trump Russia probe in 2016. DOJ Special Counsel John Durham's report says the FBI rushed to investigate Trump and ignored evidence that would have exonerated him.
What you see here is that the federal government used its awesome power of investigation and prosecution to interfere in a presidential election.
That's former Deputy Assistant Attorney General John Yoo in response to the report, Trump telling Fox Digital that former FBI Director James Comey and Democrats need to be held accountable. Taxpayers might be able to file their taxes digitally, free of charge, directly with the IRS soon. The Washington Post reporting that the IRS has been developing its own prototype system that may mean changes in the tax prep market. The Inflation Reduction Act set aside about $15 million in funding for that. And a sad note, have you been to the Alabama Gulf Coast Zoo?
No.
Well, apparently their Bengal tiger Ronnie has passed away.
Okay.
Ronnie or Rainey, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. But it was a popular attraction there. Zookeepers say that Ronnie has passed away after being diagnosed with renal failure. Her brother, Raja, passed away in February. Both of those came to the zoo as tiger cubs like 18 years ago.
All right. Well, that's sad. David, thanks so much for the update. 629 on News Radio 92.3. Yeah, the Durham Report business is... Here's what's interesting, okay? So for three or four years now, he's been working on this report. And we had preliminary findings before, but now we have the final version of it. And he says that they found 17 basic and fundamental errors and omissions made in applications to the FISA court. That's the one that, you know, authorizes surveillance, like, against United States citizens, if need be. Okay. And says that, you know, that those were used in making the case against the former president, the Crossfire Hurricane investigation that was so big in the news run up to the 2016 election and then thereafter, and the perception that there was collusion between Trump and Russia, which there was not. And this not just shows that there wasn't, but it also says that the FBI leaned against Trump, was biased against Trump in a way it wasn't biased against Hillary Clinton in the investigations against her, right? That's kind of the takeaway from all of this. What's amazing to me is that the FBI's response to this is, but we've instituted changes now. The conduct in 2016 and 2017 Special Counsel Durham examined was the reason the current FBI leadership already implemented dozens of corrective actions, which have now been in place for some time. Had those reforms been in place in 2016, the missteps identified in the report could have been prevented. which is a total admission that they were doing things wrong. And then, okay, so we did this wrong and we fixed it for the future, but what's your makeup? What's your public apology? What's the impact on elections or the president's authority that was caused by your missteps?
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The FBI says changes have already been made in response to what's in a special counsel report about its investigation into ties between the Trump campaign and Russia. Fox's Alexandria Hoff.
This report, more than 300 pages, the culmination of 4 years' worth of work. And at the core, the question was, did the FBI properly vet what ended up being politically motivated evidence that was brought to them? Durham's answer is no. In the report, he writes, the DOJ and FBI failed to uphold their important mission of strict fidelity to the law.
Former President Trump tells Fox the investigation was a total disgrace. Ukraine's military reports shooting down everything Russia fired at its capital, Kyiv, overnight.
Ukraine says it had to defend against the maximum number in the shortest time, a reported 18 missiles, 6 Iranian-made attack drones, and 3 reconnaissance drones.
Fox's Jonathan Savage, 3 people are reported injured by falling debris. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne at 75. Mostly sunny skies right now in Pensacola. The State Department of Education meeting later this morning to hash out what's going to happen with Warrington Middle School. That meeting happens at 10 o'clock this morning. Of course, we'll be following that as it happens later on. And this comes after the Escambia School Board didn't meet that May 1st deadline to have a contract signed with Charter Schools USA to take over Warrington as part of its turnaround plan. The school board has now approved a contingency plan in case the state tells them this morning they have to shut the school down. The Escambia School Board also going to meet later tonight. Just days after the city was awarded an $8.5 million grant from Triumph Gulf Coast, the city of Pensacola now getting some more good news. Joe Ford has more.
Governor Ron DeSantis announced that through his Florida Job Growth Grant Fund, the city would be receiving over $3.9 million towards the Port of Pensacola. It's another large piece of the financial puzzle as the city continues working towards the port becoming the permanent home of the American Magic Sailing Team. According to the governor's announcement, the award will fund the design, build out, and retrofit the existing warehouse number 10 that was damaged by Hurricane Sally and has remained partially incomplete since. With American Magic in tow, it's anticipated around 170 high-paying maritime jobs would be created. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
The Florida Highway Patrol says they are looking for the driver of a truck that hit a cyclist and fled the scene. Troopers say it happened at Massachusetts Avenue and Armenia Drive yesterday, just before noon. Now, the truck was reportedly turning left at an intersection when it hit the 56-year-old cyclist, knocking them to the ground, damaging the bicycle. The truck was described as being an orange tree trimming company truck. And if you have any information on that vehicle or who was driving it, you're asked to call FHP or Crime Stoppers. Federal prosecutors dropping all of the remaining fraud charges against former candidate for Florida Governor Andrew Gillum. The former Tallahassee mayor and longtime advisor to Sharon Lettman Hicks were accused of illegally directing 2018 campaign contributions into personal accounts. A jury found Gillum not guilty of lying to FBI agents, but they deadlocked on 18 counts of fraud. Well, the folks over at AAA say 2.4 million people are going to be either driving or flying somewhere more than 50 miles from home for the Memorial Day weekend coming up.
Orlando is the top destination, very popular for families, as you can imagine. South Florida down in Miami is also a very popular destination. In addition to that, the cruise ports.
And that is Mark Jenkins from AAA there. And he says it's important to plan ahead. And he advises that you leave early if you can. Friday, May 26th, he says, is going to be the busiest day on the roads. It is 6:30 for News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Candy, what are you seeing?
This is brought to you by Frontier Motors. Actually seeing a slowdown on 29. This is north of 9 Mile, north of 10 Mile, actually. It doesn't look like an accident, but just very slow in that area, so hard to say. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, though, let us know at 437-1620. This is brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer that Dave Ramsey and Andrew McKay recommend, right behind the big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. 437-1620. Text in your traffic tips, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We're going to be seeing an isolated chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. 40% chance of rain with a high near 87. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. For Wednesday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 86. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. 20% chance of rain as you go into Thursday with a high near 84. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 69. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 75. It is mostly sunny in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, and 71 right now in Milton. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with your money now. Shares of Horizon Therapeutics are down 17% in pre-market trading after Bloomberg News reported the FTC is expected to file a lawsuit to block Amgen's $27.8 billion acquisition of Horizon. The Federal Trade Commission will argue the deal could harm competition for drug development, as both companies are developing treatments for eczema and lupus. Amgen announced the deal in December to buy Dublin-based Horizon. Tata Group is set to become Apple's fourth iPhone contract manufacturer following the industrial giant's acquisition of Taiwanese firm Wistron Corporation's factory in southern India, accelerating a shift of production outside China. The Mumbai-based conglomerate has received orders for the new iPhone 15 and iPhone 15 Plus models to be launched later this year, indicating India will see the first wave of shipments for the new series. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a lower open this morning. That's your money now.
Pure opportunity. It's what Michigan is all about. The opportunity to do more. The opportunity to connect with the best talent. The opportunity for people of all backgrounds to grow and expand their business. The opportunity to live and work in a state where paychecks go farther. The opportunity is now, and it's right here in Michigan. Visit MichiganBusiness.org/radio to discover all the ways the Michigan Economic Development Corporation is helping Michigan thrive.
Did you know China starts teaching financial literacy in preschool? American kids are getting left behind, but we can help at home thanks to The Sensibles, a team of animated superheroes who help kids develop smart money habits in a fun way. Each month, they get a kit in the mail with a DVD, a comic book, access to an interactive website, fun activities, and lots more. Visit bcs-kids.com today and enter promo code CENT for 20% off. Digital subscriptions also available. The Sensibles. It's the sensible thing to do.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola. Online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Sometimes a family needs a little help to deal with life stresses. You can contribute to happy, healthy childhoods with a few simple steps. Notice families under stress. Offer a helping hand. Give your time. Talk about healthy child development. Connect a family with resources. Contributing to a great childhood can be as easy as being a good neighbor. For more, PreventChildAbuseFL.org. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Beef. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety.
No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Well, I'll say goodbye. Where does it go from here? Is it down to the lake?
Yeah.
anti-Semitic bile herd across Europe in the 30s, something I never thought I would ever see in America. Accompanied by Klansmen and white supremacists, emerging from dark rooms and remote fields and the anonymity of the internet, confronting decent Americans of all backgrounds, standing in their way into the bright light of day. And a young woman objecting to their presence was killed. And what did you hear? That famous quote when asked about what happened. That famous quote. There are very fine people on both sides. That's when I knew, and I'm not joking, that's when I knew I had to stay engaged and get back into public life. No, I don't say it for that reason. I say it for the journey.
I mean, I knew you'd applaud, but I wasn't saying it for the applause. Okay, so this is President Biden speaking at the Howard commencement ceremony over the weekend, getting an honorary degree for his sharp acuity. And no kidding. And talking about something, he said this story many times, okay? If you've listened to the president a bunch, as I have, this nothing in this speech was all that surprising. But it's important to remember how, I'm going to say this just the right way. When you go to speak to a historically black college university, an HBCU like Howard, and you're Joe Biden, you have an opportunity to either stoke the flames, fires, and embers of racial resentment, frustration, and conflict, and portray us in an us and them kind of fight, and remind people of all of the villainous things done by whites against blacks, or you could try to build a country that's more racially harmonious, that's more understanding of each other, that's more oriented towards actual unity. Now, he did not pick option B. He picked option A. Because he kept talking again and again about him versus Trump. Hint, hint. Of course, that's who he's talking about. In that widely disseminated misquote of what Trump said about Charlottesville. But okay. He says, look, this is why I got back into politics. Which, again, he's told that story before. But he's telling it at Howard. It's a different environment than just, say, a press conference or some stump speech.
I don't have to tell you that fearless progress towards justice often meets ferocious pushback from the oldest and most sinister of forces. That's because hate never goes away. I thought when I graduated we could defeat hate. But it never goes away. It only hides under the rocks. And when it's given oxygen, it comes out from under that rock.
Hate is everywhere. You can never beat it. White supremacy is the big evil of the day.
Stand up against the poison of white supremacy, as I did in my inaugural address, to single out as the most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland is white supremacy. I'm not saying this because I'm at a black HBCU. I say it wherever I go.
I mean, you kind of are also. But again, what would be the most useful message? Because there is a way in which he fails to live up to the Obama legacy, and there is a way in which he is absolutely carrying out the Obama legacy. The way in which he is absolutely carrying it out is that he, just like Obama before him, would give these speeches where half the speech was, let's be unified. Let's do amazing things together. Let's come across our differences and work together and be civil. And let's create unity and love and progress.
But on the best days, enough of us have the guts and the hearts to stand up for the best in us. To choose love over hate, unity over disunion, progress over retreat.
Yes, love over hate, union over disunion, getting along, understanding our opponents, and then turning right around. And Obama was a master at doing this, too. I know because I listened to, hundreds, I don't know, of his speeches back in the day. But he would give the same speech where he would talk about these aspiring ideals, and they'd turn around and he would ferociously criticize Republicans as the enemy of all that stuff. but calling them the enemy in a speech in which he said, let's try not to be enemies.
There are those who demonize and pit people against one another.
Like you're doing.
There are those who do anything and everything, no matter how desperate or immoral, to hold on to power. And that's never going to be an easy battle.
You mean like going to an HBCU and stoking the flames of racial resentment, sir? Is that what you mean by people who would do anything to hold on to power in an upcoming election?
This new Republican Party is dead set against it, suing my administration.
This is on student debt.
To stop you from getting student debt relief. The same opposition who received relief loans, I might add, to keep their businesses afloat during the pandemic. Members of the Congress worth thousands, even millions of dollars, most of which didn't have to be paid back. Yet, they say it's okay for them, but not for you. I found it outrageous.
You mean where you gave a bunch of money to businesses to keep them open and operating during the pandemic when they would otherwise had to fire employees or shutter the doors and lay people off and create massive economic chaos? Now, that's the same as wiping away people's student debt, which is basically debt incurred for a product or service. They're two completely different things, sir. But that's the point. The point is not the validity of his argument. The point is that on the one hand, he wants to talk about love and happiness and harmony and unity and don't make enemies out of people. On the other hand, these evil, horrible, hateful Republicans who want to destroy everything and take us back to the days of Jim Crow and won't give you your student debt relief and are, you know, trying to take advantage of power. I mean, like, pick the message. Well, he can't because, you know, Obama had the same problem, okay? There is a part where he is completely failing to carry the Obama legacy, something that Obama did right that he does not do in this speech. I'll tell you that in just a second. Candy has traffic on the fives.
We're watching an accident. This is on I-10 eastbound at mile marker 32. The left lane is blocked, and that's east of 87. And again, that's going eastbound. There are state troopers between 9 Mile and 10 Mile on Highway 29, but it looks like that is moving smoothly now in East Bay Boulevard and Navarre. Closed south of Coppell, part of the ongoing drainage improvement project. This is brought to you by Summit Racing. Summit Racing keeps your ride road trip ready with millions of in-stock parts from all your best brands. Summer travel starts at summitracing.com. Everything you need for anything you drive. Traffic tips 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to the speech that President Biden gave at Howard University over the weekend. I'll tell you the thing that I always thought Obama did such a good job at that he didn't get nearly enough credit for this from people on my side of the aisle. And I said it as many times as I could. One of the things that Obama did right was he would consistently try to remind people how much better it is in America for black people today than it was 50 years ago. He would always, not rail exactly, but he would always criticize those who acted like no progress had been made because he said that's an insult to the civil rights leaders of the 60s and the 70s and that there really have been big strides, big improvements. Things are much better, though still not perfect. Admittedly, agree. I always thought gave him credit for that because I always thought that was a very important message for the first black president to remind people of how much better things have gotten. Biden doesn't do that. Not in this speech. He doesn't talk about the progress made, the important things that are better. And I get it. As a white guy, it's hard to tell a black audience that things are much better for y'all. But as somebody who is so widely supported by the black community, by black voters, and he views himself as carrying forward the legacy of Obama, that's something he should do because that's something that Obama did so well, so effectively. But there's a whole other aspect of this speech that I thought was interesting because he goes through a bunch of like applause-ish kind of lines, like applaud me for this stuff. And I thought what they didn't applaud for was really telling. It's something that the Democrat Party, in particular President Biden, in thinking about re-election in 2024, ought to think about this, okay? So he talked about, you know, places where they don't teach black history, talking about Florida, I'm sure is what he means, even though that's a fake claim.
To stand against books being banned and black history being erased. I'm serious. Think about it.
Okay, listen to the level of applause. That's the key. The level of applause he gets on that line, and then compare that as we move through some of these topics. So I rate that about a 6 on a 10 scale.
With your voices and votes, I was able to fulfill my commitment to put the first black woman on the Supreme Court of the United States of America. And by the way, she's brighter than the rest.
The what now?
She is one bright woman.
Interesting. I actually like Ketanji Brown Jackson. I think she's quite good on the court, though I disagree with her lean. I think she is quite good, but you know, she's brighter than the rest, all the other stupid people. I mean, it's just a weird thing to say, okay? But again, the level of applause there, about a six. So Black History, a six. Ketanji Brown Jackson, a six. Now,
more black women have been appointed to the federal appellate courts than under every other president in American history combined.
Pretty loud applause. I'd say it's a seven. This one didn't really, it surprised me, but it shouldn't really.
I'm keeping my promise that no one should be in jail merely because of using and possessing marijuana. Their record should be expunged. Just expunged.
That's a roaring applause. I called that one a nine only because I had to make room for
my student debt relief plan would help tens of millions of people.
That's a 10. Okay. And again on student debt cancellation.
Many of you, the savings would be significant in even wiping out student debt completely for some. But
okay, the reason I was doing all this is because it caught me by surprise when he made a comment earlier in the speech that got almost no applause at all, even though he thinks it's a rousing moment. So you heard what it sounds like when the crowd is with him. Ketanji Brown Jackson, black female justices, teaching black history, no more jail for personal marijuana possession, student debt cancellation, right? Those are all 6+ on the 1 to 10 scale of crowd reaction. Listen to this one.
To put democracy on the ballot, to reject political extremism and reject political violence, protect fundamental rights and freedom for women to choose, for transgender children to be free, for affordable health care and housing, for the right to raise your family and retire with dignity.
Did you hear the tepid applause on choice and on transgender kids? So here's my theory about this. I think that the Democrats, particularly Joe Biden, doesn't understand where the culture is at on the trans issues. They think this is the big winning issue for them. They think this is the important human rights struggle of 2023. And they don't have the culture with them. There are a lot of people who are otherwise lockstep in line with the Democrat agenda who are not on board with men pretending to be women, men thinking they're women, women thinking they're men, crossing over in sports, crossing over with, you know, whether it's drag shows or whether it's Dylan Mulvaney or any of this stuff. They're with you on everything else. They are not with you on this. And that is particularly true in the black community, a community that is historically on religious matters, on sexual matters, on abortion, not with you, right? Much more conservative than the norm for Democrats. And though I am reluctant to give Democrats advice on how to do better, my advice is stop pushing that agenda. It's bad for you in the country. There are very few people really on board with you on this. But I'm sure they will, and I guess electorally, I'm glad because that means that that makes them more vulnerable to, conservative or Republican candidates. But it was a stark difference, the level of reaction to that issue that they had to the other issues where they were really with him. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Hey, if you are thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth is fantastic at both sides. And we talk a lot about the selling side, you know, selling homes in a day or two, selling homes at above list price, even in today's market, let alone what she was doing before, you know, selling over 200 homes a year. It's amazing getting those deals all the way across the finish line, no matter what challenges might come up. But on the buying side, same thing. Like, what I keep thinking about is, if you want to buy a house, you want to get the best deal, you want to know that you're going to win, especially like if you find the house that you really love, there's nothing more frustrating than like finding out that somebody else won. There's a couple of bids and somebody else won. Well, she will help know what other people are going to bid. She knows what can be negotiated and what can't. She knows what's going to win in the bidding process because she's been on the seller side so many times that she knows exactly how to view those things from the seller's perspective and then to get that end result. So whether you're buying or selling, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are amazing. 723-9158.
Are you ready to start saving money on your energy bill?
Join Compass Solar Energy tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Compass Solar has been locally owned and operated here in the Pensacola area for over 20 years, and they are Northwest Florida's premier solar company. Call in with your questions as we all navigate through the rising cost of energy tomorrow at 9 with Compass Solar Energy and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
Investing in times like these can be scary if you don't have the right person at the helm of your finances. Armada Advisors will put you on the right path for success. Join Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors to find a better way you can successfully invest your money and enjoy your retirement. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
National average for gallon gas, $3.53. Florida is $3.46. Mississippi is $2.97. California is $4.79. Best and worst in the land. 307 east at the Walmart. 305 west of the Walmart in Navarre. 303 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge at the Murphy. 319 at the Exxon in Gulf Breeze. 298 at the CEFCO in Milton. 298 at the Murphy and Pea Ridge. And then 307 at the Raceway, second station going through Pace. Into Pensacola on 9 Mile, you've got the Walmart as 293, same at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. And coming in from the southwest side, 303, either at the Shell at Cervantes or the Navy Murphy Station. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with the lowest out-the-door price in your next new Volkswagen, PeteMooreImports.com. Candy's got your traffic on the fives.
And good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays, except for I-10 eastbound. This is mile marker 32 in Milton. The left lane is blocked, and that's east of 87, but it is blocked eastbound, but not the whole way, just the left lane. So very, very slow getting through there. 437-1620, if you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne now in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
AAA predicting that air travel over Memorial Day weekend is going to be busier this year than it was pre-COVID, according to this year's report. About 3.4 million Americans are expected to fly over the holiday weekend, an 11% increase over last year. Hopefully they'll be able to get those airport runway lights fixed here in Pensacola. The government's sending more troops to the U.S. southern border. A Pentagon spokesman says another 950 troops will be arriving there by the end of the month, most of them headed to El Paso. And the younger brother of Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes due in court today. He's facing charges of battery and aggravated sexual battery. 22-year-old Jackson Mahomes accused of forcibly kissing a woman and shoving a restaurant employee earlier this year. He was arrested earlier this month.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Taking a look at the airport where those lights have been out for the runways last night. That's why a lot of your flights did not happen last night. They had a bit of a fire in one of the electrical conduits or something. Oh, by the way, as a side note, something we have failed to mention, the down escalator's new. They built a whole new escalator. That's been done for like a month. Yeah, I know. Like,
somebody texted that in and I thought it was an airplane
No, that's
joke.
That's correct. It's been, the new down escalator was installed over a month ago. I was talking to Matt Coughlin last night. He told me that. Anyway, so check the board. Flights from last night that were supposed to come in have been coming in, like are starting to come in this morning. A lot of things are delayed and or canceled, so be sure to check the board because of the basically the log jam and the cascade effect of seeing all of these flights. And when will it be fixed? Yeah, well, when we know, we'll know, right? That's the problem, is when we know, we'll know. We'll be back in just a minute.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620 News.